Hello, this is L.T. Smith, and I would like to read an extract from Hearts and Flowers Border. I'm going to start in part one, present day, chapter one. Life, my life, was being turned upside down and inside out, for a second time. Yesterday, I was just me, marking, planning, teaching, and bawling at kids who jacked around in class. It was all I had, all I needed, until today. It had been an ordinary day. I had forgotten I even had a conference scheduled until just before the tap on the door of my classroom. Still, in that split second, it was as if I knew, deep down, that this disremembered appointment would hold something for me. I think the giveaway was the way that time slowed down as the door opened. The groaning of the hinges announced the arrival of a hand, a firm, grasping hand that clutched the poor, defenceless handle. The hand was at the end of a toned, tanned arm. The arm, as arms tend to be, was attached to a broad shoulder, which pinned itself to a body. I scanned the rest of the visitor, noting the long legs and the slender hips, but it was the ice-blue eyes that captured me. Have you ever experienced the sensation of your stomach dropping into your shoes only to shoot back up into your mouth? That's what it felt like. It felt as if I'd been transported back 13 years to a time when those blue eyes became the centre of my world. Fear gripped me. Honestly, it gripped me right around the heart, as if to squeeze the life out of it. The room seemed to shrink. I seemed to expand. Not good. That's all I remember. In the blackness filling my head, I could hear a concerned voice whispering my name, but it seemed too distant to be talking to me. The voice was familiar, too familiar. Remembering what destruction it had wrought, I wanted to shut it out. Slender, strong fingers gently stroked my face, and I knew I had to open my eyes to see whether it was all a dream. I forced my eyes to open, then blinked away the startling light. Blurry images danced in front of me until anxious blue eyes became the focus of my attention, the centre of my world once again. It had been 10 years since I had last looked into her eyes. 10 long years of not seeing her. With that realization, I fainted for the second time. Hello, this is L.T. Smith, and I would like to read to you today an extract from my story, Hearts and Flowers Border. This is chapter 2, and it's 13 years previously. And I would like to give you the heads up at this point that maybe you will be privy to a little bit of bad language. I would like it to go record that I never, ever, ever swear. And I'm so glad you can't see my face at this moment. Okay, here we go. Fuck off, Dyke. I'd always had a way with words. Clam smacking arse liquor. I should warn you now. I tend to swear when I'm distressed, nervous, happy, sad, melancholy, watching telly, drunk, sober. I could go on, but I guess you get the picture. I was 16 years old and already had the mouth of a sailor. My vitriolic display was aimed at Justin Russell. She got on my tits. She always sucked up to the teachers, but was a complete bitch to everyone else. Finding out she'd been caught with her pants down, literally in the changing rooms with Miss Bulldyke Wilkins, had been serendipity. I vowed to put a special in the school magazine. I even made myself a mental note to not forget the Hearts and Flowers Border, which would attract attention. I hated school. School was filled with two classes of people, popular and unpopular. Guess which class I fitted into. I had the dress sense of a kebab, the social skills of an amoeba, and the patience of a dog busting for a pee. I definitely did not belong to the prominent social circle, aka the popular group. But then, it didn't matter. I didn't feel I deserved to be in that group, and, more importantly, I didn't want to be. You see, I don't think things through before I speak my mind. My mouth had gotten me into far too many scrapes and scraps. Consequently, I'd had more black eyes and fat lips than Mike Tyson. This is the way of the typical Mancunian. Honestly, if I'd behaved any other way, my family would have disowned me. In retrospect, it's a pity they didn't. I think I was repressed. Oppressed? Suppressed? Depressed? One of them. Delete as applicable. You see, I wanted to be the one in the changing rooms with... Well, not with Bull Dyke. She was... Fuck. A bloke with tits and a mullet. No. I went more for the dark hair beauties with the classic features. Straight nose, long black hair, tanned, lithe body, tall. In two words, Emma Jenkins. She was hot. And she didn't even know I existed. It seemed as if she just suddenly appeared at the end of year 10, where she'd been until then, only God knew, probably avoiding me if she had any sense. You know when time slows down and everything moves in slow motion, like in the films? That's how it was when I first saw her. I was rushing to maths. Does that make sense? Does anyone really rush to maths? But I digress. I was walking to maths. Rather quickly, that sounds better. And she was coming down the hall toward me with the bitches of Eastwick, laughing, head back laughing. Things began to move in slow motion from that moment on. My legs felt as if they were controlled by a puppet master. They lifted slowly and then noiselessly placed themselves on the ground. I took in the whole scene. Her head was back and she was laughing, but I couldn't hear anything. Her mouth was open, displaying beautiful straight teeth encased by lips that had been formed from red velvet. Perfection. Her head slowly came forward. Her closed eyes began to bud open. Fluttering black eyelashes blinked open like she was taking in the world at that moment to reveal blue eyes. Blue, blue eyes. I was transfixed, rooted to the spot. My breathing became erratic. My heart was pumping so hard it bruised the inside of my chest. Numbness engulfed me. My mouth was dry like cardboard, and I thought I was going to keel over. Long hair fanned behind her as she flicked her raven locks over her shoulder. It appeared to stop in midair, like in cheesy movies, and then fall behind her. A long, sleek arm raised to finger stray locks into place. She had the grace of the ballerina and the poise, strong, sure of herself. The total opposite of me. My eyes drifted down her body, etching every minute detail into my memory. Her skirt stopped a few inches from her knees. Tanned legs went on for miles and my eyes thoroughly enjoyed the ride, although my stomach decided it didn't like long journeys. My gaze seemed to focus in on something, something that seemed so out of place, so unexpected. Doc Martens. I shook my head to clear it. But Doc Martens. A revelation, a complete contrast to what I was expecting. Did ballerinas wear Doc Martens? Well, they did now. I looked back to her face and was captured by blue eyes. Her expression was hard to read, but she looked kind of startled. Then the group was gone, and summer arrived. 6 weeks of slob time. Perfect. And if it hadn't been for spotting the girl in the docks just before school went out, I would have loved every minute of it. The image of her in the corridor replayed in my mind like a BBC rerun. I guiltily embraced every visual, hands stroking her hair, the crooked smile, the parted glistening lips. Every time I thought of the incident, it became a little bit more interesting. The bitches weren't there, obviously. Just her and me. The school was empty. No. I wasn't going there. Not then. Not ever. I found that out the hard way.